The Navy has already started down the path toward modular ship design with its littoral combat ship. The Pentagon is now tamping down its enthusiasm for that particular program because of concerns about its survivability. But Admiral Jonathan Greenert, the chief of naval operations, says he's still committed to the fundamental principle that the Navy's future lies in ships that use common open architectures, allowing individual systems to be removed and new ones plugged in as warfighting demands change.
To me, it's all about payloads, much less about platforms. So when I turn to the shipping industry and talk about the next ship, I got to think modularity, open architecture, as was mentioned, and I have to be ready to compromise in that regard. So I got to have power, cooling, volume. You can't run away from guns and missiles. So speed has to be less. Persistence is important. And then turn to industry and say, okay, I need to build the following effects, if you will. I need sensors that do this. And turn to them and allow them to bring them in. But just give them the specs, and then we'll be, if you will, populating that ship with it.
Greenert, speaking this past weekend at the Reagan National Defense Forum, said the Navy has already seen some limited success in the modular approach, which in some cases has enticed small businesses who are not normally part of the Navy's industrial base to help build critical systems.
That means more payloads. That means less of what I call building a ship or an aircraft that is so integrated that, you know, the prime does it all, as opposed to give me the basics, and then I look out to the smaller and distributed, and then that should entice more. And we have little clips of that in the unmanned industry. We go out to replace our mine countermeasure systems to have more unmanned underwater vehicles to do acoustics in that. And we reach out and we find smaller companies can provide these unmanned underwater vehicles there. They're amazing, and they start a competition, and there now you start rolling. And the other thing that brings to you is smaller countries, we can say, you can do countermine. They say, well, no, I can't do that. I need a ship. I need a helicopter to tow big sleds. They say, no, you don't. What you need is about a 40-foot boat with this little unmanned little thing that made by company X, Y, and Z. Now we're on a roll here.
And while modularity and open architectures have proven themselves with some of the Navy's newer technologies like unmanned systems, they're turning out to be very expensive and difficult to implement aboard most of the service's existing fleet of traditional gray-hulled warships. Greenert says, from the perspective of program managers, putting new modular systems aboard those vessels doesn't pass the test of a cost-benefit analysis, since swapping out major pieces of equipment is a major undertaking that requires the ship to spend about a year and a half in a dry dock.
They are saying, oh, wait a minute, I have a destroyer today. You want to add a new payload to this. Do you have any idea what that means? I've got to break open the currently proprietary system made by some big company that isn't going to be the payload company, and that's going to be expensive. And I say, yeah, that's why the next time we build, we don't buy these large, necessarily proprietary thing at all. Give me a backbone, give me power, cooling, and volume, and then I'll turn to this smaller company. And again, we got it in unmanned underwater vehicles, we got it on a missile. We tested a missile last fall by a company coming down. We strapped it on the back of the ship and they said put in the GPS coordinates. We hooked it up to one of those silver laptops and we launched it and it hit. Now, that's the easy part. So how do you integrate that? As we look ahead at our ships, if we don't do kind of what I'm alluding to, every PM will say exactly that. And then we'll wait till the next big docking period or whatever, which could be years, and this world won't allow that. We don't have years to put a new capability on. Things are evolving too fast.
To make the modular approach to innovation work, Greenert says the Navy, and indeed DoD as a whole, need to make some major adjustments to the way they draw up requirements and test out new technologies. In the past, the service might have taken years to build out an exquisitely detailed compilation of requirements for a new ship, specifying every one of its capabilities. But that also makes sure that the Navy is not demanding programs that industry can't execute.
It takes a lot of time. It gets a lot of review. I think it's fairly detailed, and you're starting to create a mosaic of what this thing's going to look like, and you haven't even consulted with industry yet. So I think we need to get like engineering design modules concepts out and demonstrate them sooner, and we have to have a means to do that. We have a means if it's urgent. We have a means if you declare it to be urgent, you know, and all that. And then we've got to bring it from it. Young engineers, and in my case, maybe junior officers or whatever, that say, you know, we can do this better with whatever, what I have, to get that out and then turn that into a three-dimensional prototype of some sort and show it. We have done this periodically, but I think if we have a clear path to do that, codify it so that we can get those and then have a kind of a understanding with Congress. Allow us to fund this thing, all right? I don't have fill in the following documents yet on this, but we've got to see if this will work. If we work to define the requirement in too much detail, I think we start shutting doors in the world I live in. I got a shipbuilder trying to put together an engine to go to a certain speed. It's going to cost me so much money, and I don't have a clue what I'm actually saying to this person, as opposed to saying it ought to go fast. And they say, well, how fast? You know, here's the knee in the curve for dollars and speed, et cetera, et cetera.
As one other mechanism to introduce more innovation into the Navy at a quick clip, Greenert's office has also created a bottom-up process that's designed to garner ideas from the sailors who will ultimately use the technology the Navy deploys across the fleet. In what's called the Rapid Innovation Cell, the Navy has set aside a pot of money so that it can fund up to 6 projects per year with up to $5 million each. The projects are all originated from the Navy's junior officers and, in some instances, senior enlisted members. In one case, a sailor devised a testing framework that has since become the single standard by which every Navy vessel tests its cybersecurity posture. In another, sailors were looking for ways to make it easier to refuel at sea, complaining that the existing processes make it extremely difficult for officers on the bridge to keep track of the speed and heading of the oiler right next to them.
Kid says, hey, I'm out here at sea, I'm on the bridge, and when we bring a ship alongside to take fuel, it's such a pain in the butt to be able to maintain course speed. The waves are going. What's the distance there? Is there a better way to do it? And he said, well, yeah, why don't you use Google Glasses? And he said, well, how do I do that? Said, well, get, so they got a hold of Google, gave them the glasses, and they put the program in there so that just through the network, Wi-Fi, the ship's laydown of course speed, distance, and all that is now portrayed right up there on the little Google Glass. So he just looks over there, and he's got all that laid up there. That turned into, if I looked over there at that airplane, you know, it would tell me the course speed and altitude of that thing, and the guy has access to that. It's that sort of networking feature. You know, this, the millennials, they're all connected. They got an idea. They go crazy on the thing. It's bringing all that together and then rewarding them for doing it by allowing them to having them understand they made the change. So this is like theoretical speak, but it's turning that into actuality. And that's a journey that I'm on to do that and get that out there. It is a little bit, as was said before, counterculture, but you got to keep building on it.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.